and see that the Lord is good. Have you not tasted? Have you not experienced? Have you not encountered my goodness? I am good to you. Oh, and it, my goodness will rule in your life. My goodness will overwhelm you. My goodness will cover you. My goodness will lead you. Embrace my goodness today. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. Why don't you turn to Ephesians chapter 4. It's always exciting when we have a new direction that we're going into. And how many want to get a little deeper tonight? You know, if you're going to have to get oil, you're going to have to dig. If you want to get gold, you're going to have to dig, or you're going to have to pan for it. You know, it's just not on the surface. But tonight, I want to begin a journey of taking you beyond the surface. And I want to get a little deeper into God. Because when we get deeper, we find his rich treasures. All right? And I want you to be transformed into the likeness of Christ. That'd be a good thing, wouldn't it? You can't go wrong becoming more like Jesus. And that's something that every one of us can strive for. And, you know, we ought to make that our highest priority in life, is to be like Christ. Do what he did. You know what's something about Jesus? He wants us to be greater. He said, I'm going to leave, but you'll do greater works because I go to my Father. So he wants us to do greater works than he did, you know? And we can do what he did, but he wants us to do it greater. I mean, we can affect more people, you know? Maybe not individually, but corporately, we certainly can. And, you know, we live in a town full of people. And people are around us. We encounter people every day. And probably many of those people are lost. And they need a smiling face, a full person, just to love them and to show them Jesus. Amen. Just show them Jesus in how we act and what we do and what we say and how we carry ourselves. You know, I want God's word to penetrate deep into your heart. I mean, I love the word. And the word got a hold of me a long time ago. And I haven't gotten over it since. Amen? And I tell you, I love the word. And I love when people get a hold of the word and start putting it into practice their life. That excites me. Man, I want to see you be all that God wants you to be. Do all that God wants you to do. Have all that God wants you to have. And, you know, what can you expect God to do as we begin this? Oh, I want you to know the Wednesday before Thanksgiving, we will not have Wednesday night refreshing. Everybody say the Wednesday before Thanksgiving. Yeah, we're going to take a break so you can have that night off. You know, you can expect God to touch your heart. You know, God likes to touch your heart. Father-in-law said, he said, my heart was touched by human hands. And it was. But you know, God wants to touch your heart. God has a way of touching us like no other person can touch us. The question is, will you allow God to touch you? Some people resist his touch. Get your hands off me. I don't want you to touch me, right? When God touches our heart, that means we may have to adjust our attitude. Uh-oh, you mean I got to adjust my, you know, sometimes God touches us and he says, you know, I don't really like that thing. That's kind of ugly to me. So we have to adjust our attitude. When God touches us, we have to align our thoughts. How many know sometimes when we don't think like God's word, we have to align our thoughts? God doesn't have to change his thoughts, but we have to align our thoughts with his. You know, he said we could share the same mind. He said, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. And when God touches our heart, he will help you influence others. How many know a touch from God is contagious? You know, I remember that there were times early on in my Christian life where we'd get together with other believers and we'd pray in tongues for about an hour. We would just gather together and just pray in tongues. And you could see it was the Spirit of God would start touching one person, then the next person, then the next person, and then we'd all be on the floor just having a good time in the Lord. So God's touch is contagious. It'll help you influence others. When God touches you, he wants to develop your character. Do you know that God's more concerned about the inside than we are? There's nothing inside of us that God cannot see. And he wants to make sure that what's on the inside is clean and pure and holy. All right? So when God touches us, He'll help us to develop our character. He'll inspire us to walk in holiness and righteousness. Woo! You know, wide is the road that leads to destruction, but narrow is the way that leads to life. God wants to lead you on a narrow path. It's okay to be narrow-minded when it comes to God. Amen? And I say that, be focused on the narrow path, right? And then, you know, God will help you to become accountable to others. Uh-oh. This is where the rubber meets the road. You mean others are actually going to keep me accountable? Yeah. When one member of the body hurts, how many hurt? The whole body. Why? Because we're all accountable. All right? And then when God touches us, we become more close and intimately, we have a greater intimacy with God. And God wants to increase your intimacy with him. So in Ephesians 4, we're going to begin this journey of going deeper. I just simply call this experiencing a deeper life in God. Man, you want to experience a deeper life in God? One thing in God is you'll never hit bottom. Because there's so much of God that, and that's good. Ephesians chapter 4, starting with verse 12. God tells us why he put ministers in the body. The apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, the pastor, and the teacher. He starts with verse 12, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry. I thought the pastor did the work of the ministry. But Ephesians is telling us that pastors help you do the work of the ministry. Everybody say, I have a ministry. And ministry is spelled W-O-R-K. Well, that's what they used to teach us at Rhema. Ministry is spelled W-O-R-K. And if you're in ministry, you will find that out. It's spelled work. Okay. So I'm here to perfect the saints for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of faith. That's job security. How many know that not everybody is in the unity of faith? Of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man. Let me tell you something. The only perfect man who ever was, who ever will be, is Jesus. And we're going to find out what it means to be perfect. Because it's possible to be perfect, but not the kind of perfect you're thinking about. All right? So, the saints are going to be perfected for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of faith. Listen, this perfection is going to go on until we get to this place of unity. All right? and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine. Number one, God doesn't want you to stay a child. Number two, God doesn't want you to be like wind, drifting here and there with every wind of doctrine, all right? How many know that Jesus is the anchor to your soul, right? When you find Jesus, you'll be anchored and you won't be swept away by crazy winds. A crazy wind is someone through philosophy or other kind of human endeavor, they deceive people, all right? So he doesn't want you to be children anymore, but so he wants you to grow. With every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. See, a child can easily be deceived because they believe anything, right? You know, Brother Hagin always had trouble how brown cows would eat green grass and produce white milk. And when you mix that white milk up, it makes yellow butter. How does that all work? So how are we going to do this? We're going to speak the truth in love. How many know that when you speak the truth in love, it makes the difference? You know, if you have a problem here, I'm going to point you to the Word. All right? I'm not going to point you to an opinion. I'm not going to point you to a person. I'm going to point you to the Word. Okay? Speaking the truth in love, may grow up into Him in all the head, even Christ. Okay? So there's some things that God wants for His body, but you and I have a part in it, right? We're supposed to do the work of the ministry together, aren't we? Okay? And Christianity is a participative sport. There's no bench warmers in the Christianity. All right? You got to get involved. You got to do something. You got to serve somewhere. You got to make yourself available to God. Okay? Now, let me ask you this question. Are you perfect yet? If anybody can say yes to that question, raise your hand. As you can see, we don't see hands going up. Well, see, perfect in the Bible is different from perfect that you and I think of. When the Bible speaks of perfect, it talks about growth. It talks about maturity. It talks about development. Anytime the Word uses perfect in relating to the church, it means growth, development, and maturity. How many know we're all maturing as saints, right? We're all growing. Every one of us are on different levels. Everybody said, that's okay. Look at your neighbor and say, that's okay. Celebrate your differences, okay? Is it possible to achieve perfection according to the Scripture? Yes. God will help you grow. When you pattern your life after Christ, now here are some ways to become perfect, all right? You want to know how to become perfect? Go to James 3:2. James 3 and verse 2. Go to Hebrews and take a right. James 3:2. For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man, and able also to bridle his whole body. So what do we learn? A perfect man does not stumble in word and can control his whole body. So if you never say a bad word or a wrong word, then you're a perfect man. So obviously we got some work to do. Amen? Sounds like obviously I'm talking to a group of people that stumble over some words. But you know, in Ephesians 4, the Bible says, let no corrupt communication come out of your mouth, but speak the truth in love. How many can speak the truth in love? All right? You know? And isn't it amazing that the smallest member of our body, this little thing right here, if you can control the tongue, you can control the whole body. If the Lord would only give us bridles or bits that we can put in our mouth, right? No. But a perfect man controls his words. Psalm 19:14, the last verse of that psalm, I memorized it because I had to memorize it for chapel. And every chapel service at Lee, we said this, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Some versions say my rock and my redeemer. Possible to let our words be acceptable to God? Well, when you can control your words, you can be a perfect person. A perfect person does not mean they have everything right. A perfect person means they're growing, they're developing. Listen, I speak less bad words now than I did a year ago. Can you say amen? That means you're growing, you're developing, you're improving. That means you're being perfected. Now, we're not going to stop saying bad words tomorrow, but we can start, right? We can start listening to ourselves talk. And we can arrest words that God doesn't agree with or that the scriptures don't agree with. And we can say, oh, you were about to say it, but you don't say it. That's progress. Perfection is all about making progress. It's about moving forward. It's about being willing to change. Amen? Go to Colossians chapter 1. Your fingers are going to get exercised tonight. Whether you're turning pages or pressing buttons, it doesn't matter. You're going to get exercise. Or you can just look up on the screen and give your hands a rest. Aren't you glad for technology? Amen. Technology is good. Colossians 1, 28 and 29. Whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus, whereunto I also labor, striving according to his working, which works in me. Now he uses this word perfect, but he means complete. A perfect man is instructed in all wisdom. And guess what? God's word is our wisdom. We have the spirit of wisdom, don't we? And when we're in, tonight, you're being instructed in wisdom. You're being instructed in the Word of God. Therefore, you're being complete. And I want you to notice, this is something that Paul strived for. He got excited about teaching people. Did you know something about Jesus? Before he healed people, he taught people. If you read in Matthew 4, the Bible says, Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing. So he taught and he preached before he healed. So guess what? If you want to be a perfect person, a perfect man or a perfect woman, you're going to have to be taught. And in order to be taught means you're going to have to be teachable. You're going to have to be willing to allow someone or people to teach you. Because look at your neighbor and say, you don't know everything. Point to yourself, say, I don't know everything. Since neither one of us know everything, we're going to have to be taught some things, aren't we? And isn't it awesome that God has provided teaching? Whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. Whereunto I also labor, striving according to his working which works in me. There was something working in Paul that was causing him to strive to teach people so they could be perfect. Whew, say I'm being perfected. 4. Chapter 4. And verse 12. same book, Colossians. Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ, salutes you, always laboring fervently for you in prayers. Some of you prayer warriors, those are some good words. Laboring fervently for you in prayers, that you may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. If you want to be perfect, according to the scripture, then you're going to have to develop character and conviction, and you're going to have to stand firm and be convinced in all of God's will. Notice it didn't say a part of it, did it? Something that was working in Epaphras, he was fervent in his prayers that people like you and I, that we would stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. How many know God has made it possible for you to know his will? You can read Colossians 1:9, and you could pray, Lord, that I might be filled with the knowledge of your will. God wants to fill you with his will. He made it possible for his will to be known to you, and you can pray and ask him to fill you, and he'll fill you. When you're full of the knowledge of God's will, you know what he wants at any moment. You know what he wants you to do. You know where he wants you to go. You may not understand it all, but you know it. There's just a knowing on the inside of you. When I heard that there was a church who had been without a pastor for a year, I knew that that was something for me. I knew that that was God's will. And so I had to take steps. I had to put my name in. I had to go through a process. And I'm here today because of it, with my lovely wife right beside me, working together in the ministry. I would never trade that in for the world. Why? Because God wants you to stand complete and perfect in all God's will for you. Everybody say all. Go to, okay, let's go to James chapter 1. Some of you need this because I had this one a little bit further down the list. We'll start with verse 2. My brethren, complain as loud as you can when you fall into diverse temptations. No, does your Bible say that? No. Mine says, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. That's means various trials. Now notice, you fell into these trials. You didn't plan for them to happen. They just happened. But what does he tell you to do? Count it all joy. You may have to count to 10. You may have to count to 100. You may have to count to 1,000. Count until the joy comes. Count it all joy when you fall into these various trials. This is scripture. You know, they used to say, if you're going to get angry, count to 10 and back again. Well, some may have to count to 100. Count until the joy comes. Count it all joy. Okay. Verse 4. Or knowing, verse 3, knowing this, the trying of your faith works patience. The reason God tries your faith is patience is undeveloped in you. Everybody is really excited when we pray for patience. See, you don't need patience until you encounter something that you cannot control or you did not do. It's, you need patience when something occurs that you have no control over. When someone took that parking place at Walmart that was next to the door, and you got to park down way down on the end. You were planning on that space by the door, but someone took it. It's an opportunity to let patience have its perfect work. See, if you want to be perfect, you need to know that the testing of your faith produces patience, and patience must be allowed to work until the work is complete in you. Look at verse 5 or verse 4. But let patience have her perfect work, complete work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Patience is completed when you lack nothing. If there's still a void there, patience is still doing some work. Let patience, notice who lets patience do the work? You. You can't control the situation, but you got to be patient. Patience is working. You got to let patience work. If you're a mechanic, if you're getting your oil changed, and the mechanic takes the knob off the oil pan, but you don't let him complete his work, screw this thing back on, all the oil that he put into your car is going to come out. One time when I was working in Tennessee, I had my Saturn. And on a job site, I ran over a curb because I didn't see it, because half of it was gone. And you know when half of those curbs are gone, all those metal rods are sticking up? I ran right over those metal rods. And I'm wondering, why is this guy behind me tooting his horn and flashing his lights? Because I left a trail of oil from the bottom of my car. Well, I did not have to get a new oil pan because a friend of mine took off my oil pan, welded it, and it never leaked after that. But this is what happens when we don't let patience have its perfect work. Patience is still working, and we stop the work. Well, you're not perfect, you're not complete, and you're going to be lacking something. Because when patience is finished, you're perfect, you're complete, and you lack nothing. So say this with me. Say, I will let patience work, and I will let it complete the job. But, you know, in order to let patience work, you're going to have to count it all joy, because it's still in the same context. Did you know that patience and joy work together? To truly be patient is to have joy while you're waiting. If you don't have joy while you're waiting, patience still needs to do some work. The work of patience is not done. But you need joy to have patience, because joy is where your strength comes. Did you know that even though God put all things in Jesus' control, Jesus does not know when he's coming back? That information only the Father knows. So what does Jesus do? Jesus is not up in heaven saying, Daddy, when am I going to go? I'm anxious. I want to go. When am I going to go? He's not doing that. He is sitting right next to the Father with joy, and he's making intercession for us. He's praying. Why? Because he's letting patience have his perfect work. He's not getting fretful. He's not getting worried. He's not getting upset that he hasn't come yet. He's praying with joy. He's praying with anticipation. He's letting patience have his perfect work. So if you want to be perfect and complete, you're going to have to allow patience to work. And you're going to have to allow it to work until it's done. Because guess what? You know the thing I learned about God? If you cut whatever work that he's doing in you short, guess what? Wherever you go, he's going to have to finish that work. How do I know this? Because the Israelites, they traveled in the wilderness. And they could have believed God, but most of them didn't. And most of them were infected with doubt and unbelief from the bad report that they received. And do you realize They kept walking in that wilderness for 40 years until all the people who doubted God died, and the ones who believed, the ones who were left were the ones who believed God, but the ones who, Joshua and Caleb had to live with the ones who didn't believe for 40 years. Joshua and Caleb had to keep their faith for 40 years. Had to let patience have its perfect work. I could hear Joshua and Caleb. They're having lunch together. And Joshua says to Caleb, "What are these people going to get a clue? Come on, we said we could go in. Why are we stuck with these people?" But let patience. Listen, patience won't force its way on you, but you have to allow it to work. You have to say, "Okay, God, I'm just going to rest in you. I'm going to be joyful. I can't control the situation. I can't do anything about it, but I can rest in you. So I'm going to let patience work. Work in me, patience. Be the best patient of patience you ever could be." That'd be like going through a surgery and jumping off the operating table before he sews you up. What happened? You didn't let the doctor finish the work. And how many know that if you're in the middle of the operation and the operation's not finished, there's trouble. It's going to leave you in worse condition than before. So it would do you good to let patience work in you. All right, that's enough about patience. Let's move on. Go to Hebrews 13:21. Just to the left of James. Hebrews 13:21. Is this helping someone tonight? Let's look. We better go to verse 20. "Now the God of peace, that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. A perfect man is strengthened, fashioned, and formed by God into what God wants. Not only does God put what he wants in you, he equips us to be able to do what he wants through us. God puts the desire in us, and he gives us the ability in us to do whatever he wants us to do. Many of you have done things that you thought you never could do, but because God is working in you, you're able to do those things. Amen? See, he works in us. So if you want to be perfect, you got to allow God to fashion and to form. You know, think of yourself as a block of marble. And in order to get the vision out of that block of marble, God's got a chisel. Anybody ever felt the chiseling of God? You know, he's chiseling away. And you don't know why he's chiseling. The chiseling sometimes annoys you, but when he's done chiseling, you're like, "Oh my goodness, that's beautiful." You got to let God chisel. He is the potter. We are the clay. Have you ever seen a lump of clay jump off the potter wheel? Because the clay didn't like how the potter was touching it? Clay says, "I'm getting out of here. You don't touch me like that." No, that clay stays on that potter wheel until the potter is done fashioning and forming and shaping whatever he has in mind. He's got a plan for you, and he's shaping you into that plan. He's molding you into that plan. He's doing things in your life so that, because the things that he keep you on course. Because things that we do get us off course. So if you want to be perfect, you got to let God fashion and form you. Okay? Oh, let's go to 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 5. We're talking about this on Sundays. Well, we're talking about sacrifice, but this is talking about suffering. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 10. But the God of all grace, who has called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. When does the strengthening, the settling, and the establishing occur? After you suffered a while. And everybody just rejoices at a message about suffering. I mean, oh, we just want to. A perfect man is established, strengthened, and settled by God after suffering a while. Now, here's the thing. When you suffer, who gets the glory for you coming out of the suffering? You or God? If it's you, then all the suffering you just did is in vain. But if God gets the glory after you've suffered, then it's God working in you. Did Jesus suffer? What did he suffer? He was persecuted. He was criticized. He was mocked. He was beaten, whipped, crucified. Okay? Did Jesus ever say to his disciples, he said, Peter, James, and John, I don't want to go to Galilee. They're just giving me a hard time. I don't want to suffer. No. See, because when you suffer the things that Jesus suffered, you're going to have his strength and power working in you. I'm convinced that Stephen, who was the first martyr, when he had stones being thrown at him, he didn't even feel them. He was more focused on, he was looking at Jesus, who was giving him a standing ovation in heaven. Jesus was saying, that's my boy, Stephen, you go. Jesus was ecstatic. He got up out of his seat. He was cheering Stephen on because in just a few moments, Stephen was about to meet him. And what did Stephen do? After having those rocks the size of your fist pelted at him, he said, Father, lay not this charge to their account. In the midst of his suffering, in the midst of his pain, he was forgiving the people, just like Jesus did on the cross. That's the kind of suffering that will make you perfect. After you suffered a little while, then God will strengthen you. He will establish you. He will make you perfect. But the question is, what's your attitude in the midst of suffering? Are you complaining or are you counting it all joy? When the apostles got thrown into prison, they thought it was a joy. They said, we're so glad that we got to suffer for Jesus. Would that be our reaction? I can't believe the mayor put me in prison. They didn't talk about that. They talked about how they glorified God for being thrown into prison. They thought it awesome to suffer for Jesus. We got to suffer because we believe in Jesus and we talk about the resurrection. Woo-hoo! They were strengthened and they were established and they were made perfect. They came back to their own company and they testified about being thrown into prison and they had a big prayer meeting and God shook the house. That's awesome. You can do the same thing. You have the same spirit. Amen? You ready for one more? One more. Oh, let's go to Hebrews chapter 5. And then we'll finish up with this one tonight. Hebrews chapter 5. Are you perfect yet? Say, no, I'm getting there. We're all getting there. We are being perfected. In other words, a work is being completed in us. God is working through you and in you. He's prepared every one of us for good works, which he prepared ahead of time that we should walk in them. We are Christ's workmanship. That word means you are God's masterpiece. You are God's greatest artistic design. Oh yeah, creation was good, but you were very good. Yeah, God created all the creation, but he only breathed the breath of life into you. He only made you a living being with his breath. That's awesome. Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 12. For when for the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongs to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. A perfect man moves from milk to meat and teaches others and discerns between good and evil. Can you discern between good and evil? Are you able to recognize things that are good, things that God is in, or evil? You know, the Bible says, cleave to that which is good, abhor that which is evil. But part of growing up is going from milk to meat. You got some teeth. Your teeth was designed to eat some meat, some brisket, some ribeye, some burger, some pork chops. You were designed to eat meat. See, the meat represents the deep things of God's word. Milk, if you're drinking milk, you're a baby. You're a babe. Babies don't change. Babies need a lot of help. Babies need a lot of direction. They need a lot of instruction. Babies need a lot of correction because they're just learning everything. How long are you going to be a babe in the body of Christ? Some people have been in church for years, but they're still babes because they have no appetite for the word of God. Those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, they're the ones who are going to get filled. See, your appetite has a lot to do with what you receive and what you have. Your appetite to be here on a Wednesday night where you could be somewhere else. You're here because you want to get full. You want to get satisfied. You're here because this is where the living water is. And I know it's not always easy to come on a Wednesday night. Some of you sacrifice. You could be doing other things, but you're here because you have a desire for meat. And I can bake manna, and I can prepare a steak on God's grill. We're getting into some meat tonight. Things that will perfect you. Things that will be completed. Did you know that God, who began a good work in you? Notice that God began a good work in you. And he is faithful to complete it until Jesus comes. So in other words, God is going to be working in you until Jesus comes. Now, can you handle the work that he's doing in you? Can you handle the changes that he wants you to make in your life? The decisions that you have to do to step out and do something you've never done before because God is telling you to do it. Some of you, God is telling you to do some things that you've never done before, but and he gives you the faith to do it, to step out and to do it. Just step out. Just do it. Faith is all about acting out what you believe. If you believe God said to do it, then do it with all your heart. If God told you to do something, then do it. I've noticed that God will tell people to do stuff and he doesn't tell them what it costs. Sometimes he doesn't care what it costs. He just cares about the obedience. But God has equipped us. And God is working in us. And his work is perfecting us. Completing, growing, maturing, developing us in the Word so that we could go and do the work of the ministry. I think it's time that the body lays hands on the body. You don't need a preacher to lay hands on you. You got hands just like I do. The same Holy Ghost that I have. Preachers aren't special. Preachers are just feeders. I'm here to just feed you the Word. And then you've got to take the Word and go and do something with it. They said about Peter and John. They noticed, they said, these are uneducated, unlearned men. But yet they noticed that they had been with Jesus. So God took some unlearned, uneducated men and they shook the world. They turned, 120 people turned the world upside down. Changed cities. Shook prisons. Planted churches. And in the early church, they were meeting every day. Think about that. They met every day and fellowshipping, getting taught, and going and shaking their communities. Waiters were getting people healed and performing miracles and signs and wonders. Demons were being cast out. Guess what? That work is still being done today, and God wants to use you to do it. Why don't we stand up? And can we just make a fresh commitment to God? Listen, if you want the devil to win, you just go ahead and continue talking about what the devil's doing. I don't really care what the devil's doing because he's defeated. He's been beaten. Jesus made a show of him openly. Now the devil is running around the spirit naked and a madman. He's a naked madman loser who was kicked out of heaven. So I don't really care what the devil's doing. I care what God is doing. I want to be where God is doing something. I don't care what the devil's doing. I care what God is doing. I'm going to magnify God. I'm going to exalt God. I'm going to praise God. So why don't you just give him a praise and just in your heart, make a fresh commitment to believe God and make some changes in how you live. Make some changes in how you talk. Make some changes in how you think. And let that which is being perfected in you, let it be perfected. Let it be completed. Count it all joy when you fall into diverse trials and temptations, knowing that the trying of your faith works patience, but let patience have a perfect work so that you'll be wanting and lacking nothing. It's time that we as the body of Christ, we rise above our circumstances. We can do it by faith. Oh, Heavenly Father, we come to you tonight and we present ourselves to you. We will be bold followers of you. We will be bold believers. We will be strong speakers. We will be life-giving livers, living of your word, living. Be a life-giving, I want to say a life-giving liver. I'm not talking about the organ, I'm talking about a liver, one who lives. If the enemy's trying to come in your house, kick him out. Say, go in Jesus' name. You have the authority. You have the power. You're a child of God. You have the same anointing. Use the word of God. Give yourself a swift kick in the cans. Oh, we give you thanks and praise. Come on, you need to make a fresh commitment. Use your mouth and start talking about God. Magnify God. Talk about what He's doing in your life. Get excited about what He's doing. This is not a silent movie. You need to use your voice. You may have to encourage yourself in the Lord. Maybe you don't have anybody to encourage you. You encourage yourself in the Lord. There's a miracle in your mouth. Let it out. Hallelujah. Oh, give you thanks and praise. Father, I bless this couple right now in the name of Jesus. And Lord, I thank You that the work that they are doing, that You put on their heart, Father, will not falter, will not fail, but it will go on from generation to generation in the name of Jesus. The enemy can't steal, kill, or destroy. He can't stop it. He can't delay it. He can't do anything because God is on their side. If God is for them, and I know He is, then who can be against them? I thank You, Lord, that they are victorious in every endeavor in the name of Jesus. I thank You, Lord, that they overcome opportunities to be depressed and discouraged and to be in doubt, Father, but they believe God. They have the faith of God, and Your faith is working in them mightily in the name of Jesus. And I give You thanks and praise that You will strengthen them right now in the name of Jesus, that they'll be stronger than they were before. Lord, that their strength will increase more and more in Jesus' name. And I thank You, Lord, it'll be like fire shut up in their bones in Jesus' name. They'll have a renewed zeal and a renewed passion because they wait on You, Lord. You're renewing their strength. They can run and not be weary. They can walk and not faint. Hallelujah. To walk with